Now let's go to Pastor Brian as he picks up where he left off in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and the priority of love.
I read another commentary by William Barclay that he heard about this one culture, the Polynesian culture, that what they would do is, because they were a very warlike culture years back, that what they would do is someone wronged them, they would hang something from their ceiling, some article to remember that when they looked at that article, it represented that person and what they did. And it would be hanging from their ceiling until they get vengeance upon that situation. And although we don't do that, we don't hang things from our ceiling. Can you imagine that? I mean, here are these little articles. Here's a tooth. This guy knocked my tooth out. I'm going to get him, and his name's on it. But we hang those things in our mind, don't we? And love is able to clean the slate. We don't think about it. We don't meditate upon it. And we're able to forgive, as the love of God is able to forgive us as well. Let me give you one other place, one other definition of this word. This is actually a theological word. And it means to reckon. Now you say, it's not that Paul's a southerner. Well, I reckon this or reckon that. No, it means to impute, to credit to one's accounts. And it says that God does not credit our sin to our accounts. It's a very important word. It's the way that God has treated us. And this is really the heart of what I want to tell you. The only way for you to treat others this way is first you have to have been treated this way by God himself. Now, I want to look at these scriptures to help you see how overwhelming our God is in his love towards us, in sending his son Jesus Christ, not only to be born, and we celebrate that this month, but he came to live here as a man for 30-some years and to be a model and example for us of what holiness and godliness is. But much more than that, he came to die and to suffer because we are the ones that sinned against God. And God had to have a payment for that sin because the Bible clearly says, the soul that sins shall surely die. And he's not only talking about physical death, he's talking about eternal separation from God himself. And there was one remedy, and that was for God to be able to forgive man somehow. But the only way that would take place is if there was a perfect sacrifice. And Jesus Christ was that. He came and he was born, and he was a perfect man, so he could represent us. Yet he was without sin. But most important, he was also God. He was God manifest in the flesh, so he could represent God. So he could be this bridge builder between God, who was sinned against, and man, who was a sinner, and be that perfect sacrifice to represent both. And so, as Jesus did that, the Bible now says, when we come to Christ, now our sin, God does not think upon, God does not consider, God does not meditate upon, God does not write it into a ledger. Aren't you thankful for that? That every time you sin, God's not up there with a book saying, shh, shh, and he has these things hanging from heaven, and to say, lightning bolt for that guy, you know? But he cleans the slate. What an awesome God we serve. You know, as I was studying this, I was just like, I couldn't wait to be here to tell you of just God's goodness towards us. Yeah, yes, in Jesus' birth, but that's just the beginning of it. He came for the purpose of saving us from our sin. That's what his name means, the Savior, to save us from our sins. And he provided such a beautiful sacrifice on the cross for us. It was perfect. It was acceptable to God. It says it appeased God's anger towards sin. And I want you to look at a couple scriptures where this word consider or reckon, the very word that we're looking about, the love of God, appears in the scripture. And if you're in 1 Corinthians, just turn one book over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And then we'll go to Romans 4 where the word appears as well. Talking about Christ and his coming, and the fact that he's able to make us all new creations in Christ. Look at verse 19. He said is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. See that word not imputing? It's a word that's translated there in 1 Corinthians 13:5. So he wasn't thinking upon. He wasn't putting it in a ledger to our account. What was that? Not imputing their trespasses to them. And has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Like we sang, you know, go tell on the mountain. The Lord's given us a message to go out and tell people that they can be made right with God because God is willing to not have their sins all written down in an account and hold it against them when they stand before him on that day because Christ paid the full price for all those sins. When Jesus was on the cross, he cried out, you know, it is finished. It means he paid it in full. He paid our debt in full. And so now God is able and free to not hold our sin against us. What an awesome thing. That's true love. And again, we're going to get at the fact now God wants us to treat others in that same way. So it's great and glorious to celebrate about God's love towards us. And we need to understand that first, because that's the basis and that's the motivation for now us to walk in the same type of love. God's treated us that way. We've experienced it. So what the Lord has done is all of our sin that was against us, God was holding us account to it. But when we received Jesus Christ, the slate was cleansed. He doesn't consider our sin against us any longer. Thank God for that, or we'd all be in trouble. Because the Bible says there's none that are good, none are righteous. No one's going to merit heaven. It all has to be received by God's grace. Now turn over to Romans 4, and this word appears several times in the chapter. Actually, 5 times in this one chapter. Look at Romans chapter 4. Verse 3, it says, "For what does the Scripture say?" Talking about Abraham having a right relationship with God. "Abraham believed God, and it was accounted." There's the word. It's imputed, reckoned, considered. It's translated a lot of different ways in the Bible. "Accounted to him for righteousness." So that means when Abraham believed, what went in Abraham's ledger with God is the word righteous. And then Paul uses that as a definition for all of us. That none are saved by works. In the moment that we believe, what God writes in that ledger over our name is the word righteous. And so I know, not because I'm good, but because I've had faith in Jesus Christ, that when I go to stand before God, what's held in that book of record of sin over my name is going to open up and there'll be one word, and that's the word righteous. And that's not because I'm good, that's because I believe the message and God wrote that down to my credits freely by grace. His righteousness, the very righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now that's love, where he says, I'm not only going to forgive you of all your sin, but I'm also going to credit you with the very righteousness of my son who paid the price for you. And that's not true of Abraham only, it's true for all of us, anyone that'll come to faith in Jesus Christ. Look at verse 5. "But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted," and there's the word again, "for righteousness." Then also in verse 6, "Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works." So it's not by our works, it's by faith. This is credited to our accounts. Now, when I was growing up, my impression of God was that what he was doing was taking down everything that I did. And someday I was going to stand before there and there's books were going to be open and my good works are going to be on one side and my bad works are going to be on the other. And then God was going to mathematically calculate them out and give them weights. And if the scale tipped over to the evil, he was going to pull the lever and I was going to go down. That's how I had it figured in my mind. And I knew I was in deep trouble because I knew that my bad works far outweighed my good works. I picture it more like God searching for the good ones, the pluses. Well, there's a couple of them. Well, no, that one's actually dirt on the page. You have one good work. And I knew I was in deep trouble. And I came to the gospel and I heard that God wants to save me by grace, that it's apart from works, and that I could have the very righteousness of Jesus Christ credited to my account. When God opens that book, it says righteous, not because of me, but because of what Jesus Christ has done. Oh, I jumped at that. You know, because all along I wanted to serve the Lord. As a little kid, I truly wanted to do what's right. I truly wanted to follow the Lord, but I found that I wasn't able to. Because the Ten Commandments were held up, obey those and you'll be all right. And I found I'd break those more than obey them. And so I lived in this guilt, and I just finally said, forget it, I can't do this. So I didn't realize that God wanted to save me by his grace, the free gift of salvation. I thought I had to earn it. And my heart just, you know, just kind of got crushed because I would try, and then there was this evil in me that would just pull me away. And so I gave up because I thought God was like this word. You know, he calculated it out and, you know, the good ones are going to make it and the bad ones aren't. So I figured there's no hope for me. And when I heard the good news, and boy, it was good news. It was like it was water to a thirsty soul, that you could be saved free apart from works. I jumped on that. And it was hard for me to believe that God would save me, that God would give me eternal life freely. I thought surely I must have to do something. But